Okay, good. So we're going to get started now. We're going to talk about when it's important to seek professional help. Okay? Now, what it's interesting about this, I knew this one wouldn't necessarily be as popular, but it's one I don't need slides for, because this is sort of what I work on and do all the time. The reason I want to talk about this is that I find that kids very often don't get the help they need. And every couple of weeks, I get a kid in my office who didn't get the help, okay?
Did not, okay?
And most kids get the help years too late, okay? And referrals, you know, the people who should be making the referrals don't make the right referrals, okay? People make assumptions that are just plain wrong, okay? And so I thought it was very important, and hopefully, I'm glad they're taping this one, because I think more people will be comfortable listening to this online than necessarily listening to it in person. But I think it's really very important that
Why?
We understand.
What kind of
because people think of professional help, oh, I'm going means my kid has a problem. No, the fact is, any type, well, okay, so let's talk about the types of professional help. If my kid is having a problem, so what type of problems do kids have?
Right.
Kids have academic problems. They're not keeping up in class. They're not learning properly, right? My kid's having social problems. They don't have friends. My kid is too sharp, okay? Kids have behavioral problems. My kid doesn't, in other words, is getting kicked out of class because he's disruptive. My kid is fighting with other kids, right? My kid is chutzpahdik,
Can you define oppositional behavior? The topic is oppositional behavior.
Yeah, so we're talking about oppositional, but I want to make it a bit broader, okay? I want to talk about any behavior that's basically we feel doesn't fit into what our expectations of our children are. So if kids' behavior isn't up to their standards of what we expect, right, what do we do about it, okay? So, you know, the last talk I talked about a lot of sort of parent self-help books that are really very helpful. And there's a lot we can do. If my kid is, you know, too anxious, I can really read about how to help my kid anxious. My kid seems a little bit down. I can try to, you know, I can get Seligman's book on the optimistic child and try to help with my kid, you know, learn how to think differently to be a little happier. If my kid, you know, certainly on behavior issues, there are a lot of parent self-help books talking about how to discipline your child, how to give positive reinforcement. I mean, it's much more powerful to, you know, discipline kids with sort of positive reinforcement than negative. Okay, that's really what works. So that rewards are much more powerful than consequences. So a good book on behavior will really teach parents how to, you know, that about that whole concept and how to do that well. So there's a lot of things that parents, we do most of the difficulties our children run into, we deal with and we need to learn how to deal with. Okay? And there are a lot of resources out there to teach us how to deal with them. Okay.
I'm sorry, did you discuss this yet?
No.
Oh,
this is a whole new topic. Last topic was a different one. This is a new topic now, just starting.
And you have books to suggest?
Yes, I'll tell
yes.
you.
Okay. HolzerMD@gmail.com. You send me, you know, what do you, I'll send you a list of books to suggest.
How do you spell Holzer?
HolzerMD. At Gmail. Okay. So, all right. The question is, at what point do I say, you know, this isn't working, and I need to do more? What are the things we need to look for to identify saying, you know, my kid's having a problem and, you know, this isn't working. I'm not happy with what's happening. I need to do more for my child. Okay? And who do I go to? And what should I expect? Okay? So that's the question of getting, you know, how do I get help? Okay? So very frequently, whether it's When kids are having, you know, when the school finds the kid is a problem, those are the most typical times when kids get referred. Because the school says, I can't deal with your kid, you got to get him some help. Okay. So, you know, then it's sort of been determined already. That's sort of the easier cases. The problem is, okay, is A, getting the right help, and B, most kids aren't so obvious. Okay? So what am I looking for that's going to tell me? Now, the overall answer is actually a very simple one. Okay? When the problem is affecting my child in a significant way, okay, that's not, you know, not that's not fleeting, okay? It's lasting for a few weeks. It doesn't seem to be going away. It's not getting better on its own. Because very often parents say, oh, you know, it's just a phase, okay? Unfortunately, a lot of problems, unless we do something about it, don't just go away. Okay, and so if there's a significant change in their social, you know, environment, so meaning they used to go and play with their friends all the time, and now they seem to be sitting home, they don't seem to be talking to their friends as much, they don't seem to have as many friends, if there's, you know, if they're not getting along, if there's a significant change in their, you know, and sometimes we don't, you know, we don't often realize, and sometimes the you know, how to deal with the situation is not so simple. So we'll go through each of these. If there's an issue in terms of school, if their grades are, if they're not doing well, right? And they were a good student, and all of a sudden, their grades are dropped. And it's not just, you know, one or two tests here or there. It's like, you know, for a couple of months already, you know, we come to the, you know, parent-teachers conference, and their grades are really, like, down 10, 15 points. You know, what's going on here? Okay, if there's anything that's a significant change in their functioning, if their behavior has changed, okay, so if, you know, they all of a sudden, you know, either suddenly or even gradually, very often what happens is things happen gradually and we don't pick up on it, okay? You know, it's like the case of the woman in the nursing home, you know. And, you know, in the chart, it keeps saying, you know, and she's there, and she's you know, limited, and she's, you know, she's able to walk a little bit with her walker, she gets up and so forth, and then gradually, see, she's harder, and she's more bedridden, and, you know, but every day, they keep saying stable, stable, stable. Over the course of 2 years, she went from, you know, being able to get up and walk around to be totally bedridden and barely, you know, and barely verbal, and the chart has no note of it because it's so gradual. We don't want to miss it because it happened more gradually. It's sometimes easier to recognize when it happens suddenly, but sometimes these changes really do happen gradually, okay? And especially in school, the expectations, okay, don't, you know, sometimes grow up incrementally when they go from, let's say, you know, to junior high school and they got a bunch of teachers, or certainly the high school is a big jump very often in terms of the expectations in school, and we might notice a real drop there. You know, so if a kid doesn't do well the first semester in high school, the explanation might simply be, well, they really weren't prepared for high school, okay? But if then the second, you know, the next few months, they're not doing any better and they're not adjusting, okay, then we have to understand we've got a problem, okay? Waiting is not usually the best approach, okay? If I wait too long, that's not usually doing, in other words, so I want to do the interventions that I can do initially. Okay, so if my kid's having a problem in school and I can help them a little more with the schoolwork, I can supervise it more. They weren't doing their homework, I'm going to make sure we check the homework and things get done. I'm going to make sure they bring home what they need. There are a lot of, you know, I'll very often just have parents, you know, I'll have kids in, you know, in fourth grade, the teacher expects them to know what books they have to bring home. Half the boys aren't bringing home their books. My kid isn't either. Okay, so I put a list of all the workbooks. I tape it into a knapsack. As soon as they open the knapsack, they see their list. They know what they have to pack every day. Okay, so now 80-90% are coming home instead of only 50%. I improve the situation. So there are a lot of little things we can do that are really very helpful. Okay, but what happens when my interventions aren't helping? Okay. So what do I do? So if a kid's having an academic problem, for example, right? So I might look for, you know, there's some tutoring first and see if the tutoring helps, okay? Now, hopefully a good tutor should be able to give me some insight of what the kid is getting or not getting in the classroom. And I think very often we don't, like, you know, we get the tutor, the kid's doing better, but the key is to find out from the tutor also what's happened, okay? What are they coming home with? How much knowledge are they coming home? Are they, like, getting something in class? but they're just not, they, you know, it's too much, too quickly, whatever. They're just not, you know, it's not their favorite subject. Is the teacher really boring and they're just zoning? I mean, what's going on? What are they coming with? The tutors can give us a ton of information. We have to ask for it, though. Okay? Generally, they just do their job and make sure the kid knows what's going on. They teach the kid. But we want to know what's actually going on in the school and what's happening. I want to know, is this a general problem? Is this happening in most of the school day? Or is this only in one or two classes they're having a problem? Okay? The more knowledge we have about what's going on, the better we can identify what to do. Okay? If, in other words, if they're having a significant problem, if a kid is in, you know, goes through first grade and can't learn how to read, okay, I don't want to wait another year or two for them to fall further behind. I want to identify the problem. Okay? And here's where we run into the issue. So very often then, I'll get psychoeducational testing. Right? So testing is a very, very wonderful tool as it gives us a lot of information. Okay? But the key is to get a really good referral to somebody who understands it. Because people can do the testing, if it's done really well, can often really, you know, gives us a map of what the problem is and how to treat it. And the problem I often run into is that, you know, there's people who treat one part of the problem but not the other. Okay? So a kid who has some form of dyslexia, right, and some problem reading, okay, you know, the problem is a lot of kids with learning disabilities, let's say, will have ADD also. But, you know, they're treating the learning disabilities. The kid gets pushed along and pushed along. He's getting his tutoring, he's getting this. You know, I just met some, you know, the kids in 12th grade, and they're finally realizing the kid hasn't been able to pay attention his whole life, and nobody's really treated that, and so all the special ed hasn't really helped him that much. You know, so getting, in other words, I guess one message I want to take home is that, you know, our job with our kids is not to necessarily, you know, kapdeu v'chashdeu. It's, you know, respect the professionals and, you know, the people you go to, but in other words, don't you don't have to trust everybody that they necessarily have all the answers, okay, including myself. You know, there are some kids I don't necessarily have all the answers for, okay? Thankfully, for most kids, I do, and I think the advantage of having my, you know, training is that I'm trading relatively broadly. So I'll suggest testing, and I'll suggest therapy, I'll suggest, you know, a lot of different things for kids. But a lot of psychologists or therapists, let's say, have certain philosophies. They're trained in a certain way. Some of them, you know, let's say, will make referrals to psychiatrists, some of them won't. Okay, you want to know about this when you see somebody, because you want to know their belief system. You want to know how often do you make referrals, because I have people, you know, colleagues of mine who I really like, and some of them just, you know, don't make referrals at all. You know, they're going to, you know, so you really want to keep working until you come to solutions. Okay, and so that might mean really looking at other options. In other words, for younger kids, very often kids have difficulty with handwriting or difficulty, you know, for younger kids, it's really easy to get these great evaluations because the state pays for them. So you can get, you know, they'll do OT and PT and speech and language and everything evaluations. But getting, you know, these sort of broad range evaluations is very helpful to really lay it out. But when a kid is having a problem that doesn't go away, you really need to get help. So typically, getting back, let's say, to oppositional behaviors, when kids are misbehaving, right? So, like, when do I know what I need, okay? And what type of problems, especially, you know, the kid last year and it wasn't necessarily having a problem, okay? So how much does this have to do with, you know, with the Rebbe? How much does it have to do with the friends? You know, we really need to sort of take these things into consideration. But the main thing is, if the problem isn't getting better, okay, and talking to my kid, you know, and trying to intervene isn't helping, then we've got to figure out what type of problem is this? Okay? And is the kid frustrated because he can't learn? Is the kid frustrated because he can't sit? Is the kid frustrated because he's having a problem with the kid socially and he can't get along? You know, identifying the problem is really key. Any problem that's not going away is a problem we really want to, you know, we want to deal with. Okay? So, you know, I think that getting the type of, you know, taking it to a professional at that point, early rather than later, at least getting an opinion, getting an evaluation early on, okay, where problems really aren't disappearing, is really, you know, is really going to make, can be very helpful. I mean, I've got lots of situations where I have kids, and I had a girl came to me last year in sixth grade, and she was very disruptive in the classroom. The teacher was really having problems with her. She wasn't getting along with the other girls because she was saying things that were inappropriate. She was impulsive and so forth. And the parents really, and this has been going on for a while, they didn't know what to do. But as it turns out, since I was treating the father, he talked to me about it, so he brought his daughter in to see me. And the girl clearly was a really sweet girl, was really trying very hard, but was very impulsive, had a big problem with sitting and focusing. And so I said, okay, we'll treat this and we'll see what happens. You know, and so he comes to me last week, and they went to parent-teacher's conference. And, you know, one teacher said to them, she said, you know, it's worth for me to come to school every day just to be able to teach your daughter. Okay? She is the most active, involved student. She remembers everything I say. And, you know, she's always has the answers, and it's just a pleasure to have her. She has more friends now. She hasn't gotten below 95 in any class. You know, the right intervention can make a dramatic difference. The problem is that the other guy I just saw this week, I started seeing a couple of months ago, he's 21 already. He's never been able to sit in yeshiva. He's never been able to learn. Okay? It's affected who he, you know, his belief. He came to me and basically said, I don't really think you can help me. Nobody can help me. But, you know, I promised my dad, I got this referral, I come to you, so I'm coming. I can't do school. I'm never going to do school. I said, well, what would you like to do? You know, at this point, I'd like to be able to go to college because I really want to have a certain career. So, I'd like to go to be able to go to Touro, but, you know, I don't have a high school degree even. Okay. And so I told him, look, you know, I went through his history. And he's a really nice kid who really, you know, his self-esteem is negative because he lacks accomplishments. And our self-esteem is really based on accomplishment. The reason that it's so important to get help for our kids. And so I say, do I really care if a kid is a 95 student or an 80 student? Okay? And the long-term things doesn't really make a difference. It's not going to make a difference to me. It's not going to make a difference to most parents. Some parents might, okay? But if the kids are happy, the problem is the kids aren't happy. If I'm a bright kid and the kid next to me is getting 90 and I know I'm smarter than him and I'm getting 75s, I feel like dreck. I feel, what's wrong with me? Okay? I feel like I can't do anything. It leads to a very pessimistic approach to the way I think about myself. And so what we need to do is really help kids accomplish what they can accomplish in order to really grow. So, you know, this kid comes to me at 21 and I told him, look, I can't promise you for sure, but I really think you can have a very different experience than you've ever had before. And I think you should be able to do school because based on what you're telling me and the reports I have, you're bright enough and you're capable enough, you should be able to do it. And here it sounds like you're pretty motivated to do it. Let's give this a try. I'll work with you on it, and we'll see how it goes. So Baruch Hashem, he's in, you know, he's going to school, he's doing much better, things are going well. But does anybody have any specific questions they'd like me to address?
The one you said, the child, did you medicate that child?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, one of the big problems is that there's
a
big...
not the 21-year-old, the one you talked
both
about.
Both of them. There's a big stigma about medications, and one of the issues about it is that medications, you know, a lot of people still have a very negative attitude towards them, which unfortunately is still a big problem in general, in the community, etc. But, you know, when they're indicated, they're great. Now, not every kid comes to me do I necessarily give medication to. There are a lot of kids who... What?
Just making sure.
Okay. A lot of kids where it really isn't necessarily indicated. You know, and that's not the first step in therapy for most kids.
But you did that to the 21-year-old also?
Yes, yes. It's a kid who needed it from the time he was 8. That's a problem. You know, and, you know, very often, but that's what I'm saying. What very often happens is we don't get the help we need for our kids when we need it. And, you know, the key is really leaving no stone unturned, in a sense, in order to find the help that we need. Okay? So that, in other words, I have to identify what the issues are, and then I have to try to figure out what the right help. And it's not always so simple, because just identifying a problem might label the behavior, but it doesn't necessarily give me the source, and that doesn't really tell me where to go. So trying to find someone who's going to help you is important. And, you know, but it's also, I tell people, look, you know, you start with a therapist, give them a few months, give it 3-4 months, and you should be able to feel like you know what's going on, and you have an answer, you know, the possible, you know, you understand how you're, what the problem is and how you're addressing it. Okay?
Well, this gentleman needed, the 21-year-old,
yes.
He will need it after he goes to school too, or is it just because he wants to do schooling, and if he was a woodchopper, he wouldn't need it?
Probably just the school.
Just the school.
Right.
And then what happens when he goes into the next phase and wants to get married? He has to tell the girl he's married that he was on medication, is on medication.
Hey, you know what? I have never had a shidduch break up because the kid was treated for ADD. Okay?
Really?
I've never had a shidduch break up because a girl was treated for anxiety. Okay? Those are the two things that, as people are still very nervous about them.
Really?
Serious, yes. And it's much easier among Hasidim because go to the Rebbe, and like by the Gera Rebbe, they tell, if that's all it's for, no problem. Go ahead. Okay? I mean, they're very consistent. Much of the Rebbe, a lot of the Rebbe's, you know, because they call the shots, it's very simple. Since they refer for it, they tell people to take the medicine, they have no problem with them taking it, and they have no problem with them go through the shidduch.
And they tell the person, they have to tell the person that
Yeah. It's not an issue. Look, for some guys, things like, you know, the impulsivity and the difficulty sitting and listening can affect shalom bayis as well. It's a big issue sometimes in shalom bayis. And so therefore, some things have to be treated, but probably treated maybe very differently than was treated for going to school or going to yeshiva. And the problem is the impact it has on a person's self-esteem when they spent years in yeshiva not producing and not accomplishing. We feel good, okay, if you read Tversky's book on simcha, for example. He talks about simcha, it's not just happiness. Simcha is a result, you know, Chazal talk about simcha, you know, simcha shel mitzvah. You know, talk about the sense of accomplishment we get by actually doing. Okay? And so we need a sense of I'm accomplishing, that I'm doing something positive, I'm achieving a goal. And that's what really these get in the way. If a kid is in yeshiva and they're not achieving a goal, if a kid with their friends are not getting along, I feel there's something wrong with me. I attack myself, I become a very negative self-image. And that becomes much more difficult to change over time.
You don't find resistant parents? I can't imagine. I mean, the parents of these kids that you were treating with medication, they did not resist you?
Sure they did.
So
some did, some didn't.
Like I'm
that's why often, you know,
resistance.
When I years and years ago I started, I was running a clinic for frum people. It was out of Einstein. It doesn't exist anymore. But the head of psychiatry, of the Department of Psychiatry, was a nice reform, very identified Jew. Nice reform Jew. And he asked me, what's the difference between the kids, people come to your clinic and they come to one of my other clinics? I told him, I didn't want the answer right away. Just some came out of my mouth. I said, 6 years. He said, what do you mean? I said, they come to us 6 years later than they come to any other clinic. Okay? So I think now maybe it's gone down to 5 years. But it's not changed enough. And the stigma that we have is really is part of the problem that gets in the way. It's exactly what we're talking about. It is because seeking professional help is its own stigma. Okay? Just even people still have this feeling about being in therapy. I mean, the whole issue in the office, people can't meet each other, don't want to know who's there, and so forth. You both come in here, they're going to tell. You know? It's like the guy in Yom Kippur, you know, goes and plays golf because he can't not play golf, and goes and hits a hole in one, you know? And he's so excited, his whole one, and a heavenly voice comes out and said, and who are you going to tell? You know, it's like, you know, we don't want anyone to know about it, even though it's important, then we do it. You had a question?
Yeah, I had a couple of comments. Rabbi Tversky, Dr. Tversky, he says, Sameach is very similar to Sameach. when you grow, you're happy.
Right.
Also, I missed the beginning. You're a psychiatrist.
Yes.
Psychiatrist. Why do the stigma? Why is there a stigma with the community with seeking psychiatric help?
There's a stigma in our community because part of it is this concept of perfectionism. When it comes to a shidduch, we want, you know, even if we're not perfect, we don't want any pagam. It's like, you know, every time we place a shidduch, it's like we're picking an esrog. You know, it's got to be the perfect one. What I find, unfortunately, is that, you know, people often ask the wrong questions. Okay? Well, very often the question of that, how compassionate, how much of a gomel chesed is she, what type of chesed does she do, and so forth, is not the first question that should be that's asked. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the you know, when the Torah tries to give us, you know, myself of Sim Labanim, it tries to give us a path of what you look for, right? That we read in the Torah not too long ago about, you know, Avram sends Eliezer. That's what you ask about. All you want to know is, you know, the chesed. And the chesed should be, you know, above and beyond. Okay? That's really what's important. And we look for, you know, there's unfortunately people are focused on a lot of other external things that are not necessarily nearly as significant. Okay? So, you know, how good a learner the guy is, you know, that's everybody wants to know.
How many years?
Or how long is he willing to? How long does he plan to learn? You know, he went to work once, so he's, you know, Eisfarf. I mean, we have a lot of ideas that aren't necessarily Torah based, okay, that have been inculcated because of a variety of reasons in our society. But we want that, we have a certain perfectionism about it, okay? And so if somebody has any type of pagam, they have to take somebody else who also has some type of pagam, they don't go, and so on and so forth. So with, you know, when we start off, even minor, you know, issues, I mean, a girl is anxious, you know what? So she recognized her anxiety and got some help for it. And this other girl is trying to stay in denial about their anxiety so that, you know, when they have their two kids and they're totally overwhelmed and their anxiety explodes, then they'll have to go get help for it. You know, at least you know what you're dealing with when it's up front. At least they're treating it up front to avoid a problem in the future. So it's faith. Treatment for anxiety inoculates you against anxiety down the road. Okay? Just like the idea of treatment for depression inoculates you against, you know, depression down the road. Getting mental health help is not really a negative. To me, it's a big positive. You know, because it has a positive effect. It has a positive effect on relationships. It has a positive effect on the person. So that's, you know, but our concept is one where we're very afraid because of, you know, everything is going to shtera shidduch. And I, you know, we deal with that constantly, that we're constantly concerned about shtera shidduchim, and shidduch is, you know, it seems to be the most important thing. And we're afraid that anybody else might find out about us.
Yeah, but if they're not normal out there, they're also going to shtera shidduch. They just don't realize that because they're in denial, they think no one can do.
Right. And when I treat kids, let's say, for ADD, and the kid's getting kicked out of yeshiva, I say, I understand. You think they're fooling somebody? Nobody knows he's kicked out of yeshiva? He's been in three yeshivas in 3 years?
Okay.
I mean, there's no secret here.
And what about the whole class?
Right. Right. You know, he's got a bunch of Bachram. Everyone knows what his story is. You know, you ask any Bachram from any yeshiva he's been in, they're going to tell you what his story is. So, it's much more important to address issues than to deny issues. But this is one of the problems we run into. So, trying to seek the proper, you know, proper help and not being afraid of it. I think one of the biggest problems that come in seeking any type of professional help is exactly this. We're often so afraid of the stigma that we're afraid to do anything. Okay? And very often, if the school isn't sending me or no one's pushing me to go, right, then I'm not going to do anything either. So even though my kid might be suffering, but the school isn't complaining about them, right, and they're just getting pushed along, okay, and if they're not complaining to me because they don't know they can, so, you know, and they want to stay in denial as much as anyone else, so it's much easier very often to just not see the problem. And the problems don't necessarily go away. They gradually get worse and worse. So a girl who has a negative self-image and has to boost herself by telling stories and lying when she's in fifth or sixth grade. But the time she's in ninth grade is, you know, is really, it has a very hard time adjusting to a new school because the friends realize right away that, in other words, she's telling bubmices, okay? Kids don't want to be her friend, okay? And so she's really alienating everybody. She feels terrible about herself, okay? It just leads to more and more problems, okay? These are, you know, so very often when problems are, we think we can just ignore a problem, and if I don't talk about it, it's going to get better, it's going to disappear. The problem is most problems like this aren't getting better, and they're not disappearing. We need to monitor them. And even if we treat them, we need to monitor them to make sure they're really improving and they're getting better and the kids are doing better. If I've got an academic problem, then I want to know that my kid is really growing academically. I want to know that his grade level is increasing and he's really learning. And if I'm addressing the issue and he keeps dropping further behind, then something's wrong here. I'm not solving the problem. I need to go further. Whether the teacher or the tutor or anyone else tells me that or not, as parents, we need to take initiative and do something about it. If my kid doesn't have friends, and with the therapy and this and so forth, it's a year later, and they're just as isolated, if not more so, and more unhappy about it, then I've got to figure out what else I need to do to address it. I need to become the expert about this issue so that I can help my child. Okay? And it's not always so easy to do, but there are certainly, in other words, I'm a big believer in just sort of leaving no stone unturned. And so finding out who else can help me or what else can I read about it, what can I learn about it. I mean, I have people all the time tell me, you know, I read this online, I read that, you know, there is a certain value to what we can read. It's sometimes very difficult because you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. And figuring out what's really going on is not always so easy. So therefore, you know, when there's a difficulty very often understanding the nature of the problem. So let's say neuropsychological testing, which is more specific psychological testing that's going to be specifically addressing certain issues, whether they're personality issues or academic issues or whatever they are, and try to get more specific answers. Okay? Very often that can be very helpful in terms of identifying what the problem is so now we can go and fix it. Okay? Some kids, in other words, they might be fine in certain areas, but their problem socially is that they just their natural social intelligence isn't that great. They don't pick up on social cues as well. You know, in other words, when a kid is trying to tell them no without just being, you know, nasty about it, they don't realize it. Okay, they don't get it. They don't pick up on the body language, let's say. So you can learn to do that. I can teach a kid how to do that. Okay, and we've gotten very good at teaching that, but I've got to recognize it in order to be able to teach it. Okay, there are a lot of interventions that are available that we need to be able to access once we understand what they are. And, you know, I think the key in terms of that is really for us being very active parents and following up and evaluating, getting evaluations of, you know, how is my kid doing in this and how are they succeeding or not succeeding in the area which I'm concerned about. Yeah.
I have right now a second generation. Her mother had ADD unaddressed because they're also blessed with very external nihilists. They're getting away with it because they're cute and pretty and sweet, but they're totally dysfunctional. You call the mother in, I mean the principal, and she says, my child is fine. I was the same way, you understand? And I managed through life. She'll also do fine. So they don't... Now, are there any generic testing? So they're not going for help. You obviously see they're not going for help, and they, you know, the school isn't ready to tell them, well, they'll leave, go to another school, because you know, they'll throw out kids, you know, whatever. And you can't also disclose this, okay? Then you have like this...
There's a very simple thing that school can do. There's a simple form that teachers can fill out, either a Connors or an ADHD-RS scale, right?
Oh, there are these generic...
It's a generic form that the teachers can fill out that can be scored, okay? It's a very easy thing to do. It's not expensive. Yeah, ADHD-RS scale you can get online. It's free.
What is it?
ADHD-RS.
H-D-A.
ADHD-RS. It's they have a form for teachers to fill out. They do a checklist, and you can score it, and you could basically say, with over 90% accuracy, based on, if you do a few teachers, whether this kid is ADD or not, okay? Because the teachers are evaluating relative to the other kids in the class, okay? So if this kid is really inattentive and isn't focused, and they have to keep refocusing, and they realize she's not learning in the classroom, that'll come out in that, and they could say, we're doing this testing on your kid, let's see what the results are. If the results are that there's a significant problem, we want you to go for help. That's all. And then you've got something in black and white that can really be very helpful.
It's not your opinion or my opinion.
Nice. And the fact is, for the other issues as well, where the kid's depressed or anxious, you have scales like an Achenbach, okay? Which for a couple of bucks, you can also, there are a variety of different scales. Yeah, that you can find all of these scales. You can get anxiety scales for children and depression scales. The Achenbach is just general.
Yeah. How do you spell it?
Achenbach. But there are a variety of child rating scales that teachers can do that really rate children very well and really can use what the teacher... Because teachers, have a norm of the classroom to evaluate against. And so it makes it very easy. Teachers' evaluations are really very helpful. And so what a lot of things to be done, and a lot of the follow-ups we do, in other words, when I treat kids, I love teacher scales. If the parents are willing to do them, I'll send in, send in generically without any... So I get some follow-up, and I know I can follow the treatment and see how well I'm doing. And what I'm getting at is that it's exactly the point. We need to be sort of goal-oriented. If I'm treating a problem, I have to identify the problem, I have to understand what am I trying to accomplish, and I have to set criteria to see what I'm accomplishing. Okay? And that's how we have to really treat every problem. This, sort of nebulous, we'll put them in some type of treatment or therapy, and just see what happens without any specific goals. If I don't have a goal, I usually don't accomplish it. Okay? And so one of the things we need to do as parents is make sure that we have a clear goal as to what I'm doing, whether they're going to psychotherapy or whether they're doing behavior work or social skills or tutoring or, any academics. If I bring them to a learning center and they're working on the math, if you take a kid to one of these learning centers, or Kumon or this, and they're doing specific, they're going to show you what they've accomplished. They're going to say, here's what they started with. 3 months later, here's where they're at. Okay? Because they want to show you that your kid is really achieving something here, and this is what they can achieve. Okay? And this is what we've accomplished with your kid. This is what your money went for. Okay? And we need to be consumers like that in every area. If somebody comes to do work in your house, you're going to insist that you can see the work before you finish paying them, right? You want to do the same thing. If you're somebody who's working with your child, you want to know what they've accomplished, okay? And sometimes it's not, I can't necessarily do a test, but you can sit down with who's ever treating them, and they can give you a clear understanding, what am I accomplishing? What are the goals here? What are we trying to achieve? Okay, and here's what we've achieved so far.
Because I know so many students of mine have been tutored since they're born practically, and they're still in the same place. And it's mamish just to cry money, energy.
Right, but unless we have, the idea is that there is a way, in other words, with psych testing, neuropsych testing gives a blueprint of what the problem is and how to remediate the problem. And that's very different than just teaching the material. We want to teach, in other words, the kids who have a learning problem, I want to teach them a skill how to overcome the problem. I want to give them the skills, I don't want to just give them the information. And so learning how to do that, okay, getting someone who's going to teach skills, not just information, is key. So the key is really empowering parents in terms of how do we accomplish this goal that we need to accomplish. What's the goal? What's the nature of the problem? How do I achieve the goal? How do I get there? Okay? So that's really what we want to talk about. And then there's And the other issue is that because I have one problem, it doesn't rule out having another problem. Okay? So that very often kids will get, diagnosed with dyslexia, or kids will get diagnosed, with some specific learning problem, and other things will get pushed aside. And then their social issues aren't being addressed, or their other learning issues, or the behavior issues get sort of pushed aside, or their emotional issues don't get addressed. So we don't want to just address, because the problem is that many kids who have one issue often will have another. Okay? When it comes to kids, they tend to come in clumps, not individually. Okay? So that, for example, a kid with ADD will most likely have another diagnosable problem, more likely than not. The majority of kids with ADD have another problem with it. Okay? So there, just whether it's an anxiety problem, whether it's a mood problem, whether it's a learning problem, most of them have some other problem.
Probably ADD that led to
them. Well, they just come together. Even if you get them at a young age, okay? Some kids are just born more anxious than other kids, okay? And it's very treatable anxiety, and not with medication either. But if we don't treat it, it's not getting better, okay? Anxious kids are not, being an anxious kid is not all bad. Okay? Anxious kids tend to make better leaders. They're more empathetic. They understand what the anxiety is. They understand other people's pain because they know their own. But you have to treat it so they're not frozen by it. Okay? It's like, we just had this hurricane, right? I understand, what can happen to people because my house got flooded too. There was one day, it's just like I got there and I planted. Catalog all the stuff to do this, and we just went to a neighbor's house. My wife and I sat and had coffee for an hour because I couldn't do anything. People get frozen in their pain or in their panic or just feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to do. Whereas what you need to be able to do is really, say, okay, I have a crisis. I need to address it. So I've got to be able to calm myself and take my energies and put them in a positive place. And use them in positive and figure out how do I move things forward? How do I find solutions? How do I make things happen so I can, fix everything, right? And finding the best solutions. And if I don't address my anxiety and don't address my fears, I can't learn how to do that. Until something gets in our way, we don't necessarily treat it.
Right.
And the key is to recognize where it's getting in our way. Because the question is, has it really gotten in my way before? But
yes.
I avoid it. So the fact is, anxiety, it affects many, many people. And most people at some point in life, it's going to affect in a way that really limits us. Okay? And it's like I was just by people for Shabbos, they're complaining how their new daughter-in-law has this terrible phobia of dogs, and they have a little dog. And, so it's like they're going to put the dog in the basement, this, and one of the kids let the dogs in, and she was like, she couldn't come down the rest of the day. She's like, well,
she's not coming next week.
Right. I said, okay, so let her learn desensitization so she can learn how to deal with her phobia and she can, be in your house and not be afraid of the dog. There are things we can do to address our problems if we're willing to. And that's really the key. Our kids can't always make those decisions themselves. I, as an adult, make a decision, how much do I want to address this problem or not address this problem? As children, we really can't, they don't have the power all the time to do that. We often have to do that for them. Now, once they become very often a little older, they're teenagers, they often can limit, we need them to buy into it. But I will tell you that a lot of kids get dragged into my office, and the parent says, good luck. But what I talked about in the first session today, about really listening empathetically to the child, okay, understanding how they're feeling. And that's really a key here. If you want to understand, you have to really listen to the kid, be non-critical, and just hear what they're saying, okay? And if you really show that I'm just concerned about your problem, it's not about me, it's not about the school, it's not about anything else, I just want to hear what your problem is, I'm here to help you, okay? Kids really respond to that, okay? And you can gain a lot of information that's really very helpful. And very often kids are afraid to talk to their parents because they're afraid they're going to disappoint their parents. So I don't want my mom to know that I'm doing terrible because, they're going to be disappointed in me. They're not going to be proud of me. And I don't want to give them that sorrow, that pain.
Because, by the way, my son eventually passed after this guy.
Right. Because he helped him deal with his anxiety. He knows how to help kids.
That's right.
Right. So, but
how do you address that to make kids not be afraid to tell the kid? Because he told me that he failed 3 times, really he failed 4 times, but he only told it to me.
After the fourth.
It was like a major problem in life.
Right.
For him it was.
Right.
But
we have to, it's getting our kids to understand that we are going to accept them and love them unconditionally, no matter what they accomplish or don't accomplish, is really the key for really helping, especially older, but even at any age, because to understand the problem they're having, they've got to be able to really share very often with us. As the kids get older especially, they're very good at hiding things, and they don't want us to know, they don't want to tell us. And the more they can feel that I'm really just here to help you, and don't try to lie to me, and don't try to protect me, just tell me what's going on, because that's my job. I'm here to help, okay? And whatever it is. But the key to that is that we can't then react negatively every time they tell us something we don't like. Okay? You know, necessarily come naturally not to react. And as I once said to my wife, you know, I bite my tongue so much I feel like I have track marks on it. And so sometimes you go through it with your children where you really have to, you know, like, not respond. You just have to be able to let them talk. And if we can talk, let them talk and not respond, they'll test the waters. And if they see that we really can hear them, they'll tell us more. But mostly what we do is by our reactions, we tell them that we can't hear it. And if we tell them we can't hear it, they're not going to tell us. If we don't have their input, we're not going to know what they need. Because they can tell us what they need, either directly or indirectly, if we can really hear it. But we have to be able to listen. Okay? And so in order to get really the type of help they need, we've got to be very sensitive to what's going on with them. We've got to look at what's happening and follow the trajectory. If my kid has been an 80 student since, you know, first to second grade, and they're still an 80 student, right, then, you know, that's great. Okay? And if they want to do, you know, they're really motivated in high school because they want to do a certain yeshiva or a certain this, and I'll get them help and I'll get them a Rebbe to really learn so they can learn better, and they want to be overachievers because they hate. But in other words, that's their motivation. But if a kid is accomplishing their potential, they will feel good. They don't have to be an olive student to feel good. That's a misconception. Kids, and the most important thing is that kids should feel a sense of accomplishment. If I'm putting in the effort and I'm getting the result I expect out of it, I will feel good about myself. But if I'm putting in the effort and I can't get the results, I won't feel very good about myself at all. And so when a kid has a specific learning disability that gets in the way of accomplishing goal X, right? Whereas in everything else I'm more competent than here, I feel I should be able to and I can't. So learning to overcome that problem is important. The kid can't focus and therefore can't accomplish the goal. He has to be able to overcome that in order to feel good about himself. If I feel stuck, okay, it goes back to this sort of idea of learned helplessness, that if there's no solution to my problem, and I feel that there's no solution, I don't keep trying, I give up. Okay, if I learn that there's no way out, then I'll just stop trying. And then a lot of the kids who are, in other words, who sort of, with the yeshivas complain, drop out, right? It's not that dropped out, we pushed them out because we gave them no way to accomplish, nowhere to go. Right. And unfortunately, it's become a bigger problem because the school systems we have and the yeshiva systems we have become much more narrow. And you have to be able to do certain things. It used to be different. It used to be that if you weren't the best learner, but you were, you know, you're a big Oscar, and you did, you know, you took care of this thing in the yeshiva and that thing, and you did a lot of chesed, and you took care of shalosh shudas, or you're the gabbai, or you're the shamash, or the, you know, there were other roles you could have that were really very important and gave you a certain status, whether you were the biggest learner or not. You didn't have to be the biggest masmid. Today, if you're not a masmid, there's no other role really. There's nothing else left.
I'm noticing also a lot of oppositional behavior in the children that are different than the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to me like, and you can't even...
Because I don't fit in. And so it expresses itself in my behavior.
Right.
But that's, again, going back to understanding,
so that they won't be confused.
If I understand that the behavior has a source, and I understand where the behavior is coming from, and I let the child express what the behavior is about, then I can all of a sudden really accomplish the goal.
But they really have to believe you. A year I was pumping in the son of mine that he doesn't have to be like
right.
His brothers. He was trying to totally be a different entity. I mean, like, even taking steps that would indicate...
But for that, we really, you know, look, the ability to celebrate every child and what they do and what they have is really very important. And we're not always so good at that. Okay? And so being able to find things to celebrate about each child, So if this child is not the best learner, but he has other qualities that I can show him, I can celebrate with him, then I can really help him feel better about himself. Okay? And so that's one of the other things we want to do, is some of the things out, things that go on outside of school are often as important, if not more so, than what's taught in the classroom. And so being able to work with our kids to develop their other talents, their other skills. In other words, so if a kid is artistic, and we give them some art lessons, so if they're musical and they get some, they're able to learn to play piano, play this, it gives an expression in another way that maybe school doesn't afford, but it gives them a certain chashivas. This, you know, he's a piano player, he plays the guitar, he's a one-man band, he can sing, he's part of a choir, so this. There are other avenues in which kids can really celebrate their abilities. And that's very important because we all want to feel in some way that we're have some chashivas, that, you know, that I have something that is special and that I can accomplish and I can do well. Okay, and that makes me feel very positive about myself. And so, you know, okay, I do okay in yeshiva, not the best, but, you know, I'm really good at this. Okay? You know, so we all want this sense of accomplishment. And I think when it comes to our kids, the idea is, it's like to really look for the help that we can get. It's not be afraid of seeking it in other places. And so if we're not getting the answers, going for neuropsych testing, going for psychiatric evaluation, just because, in other words, people think that, you know, oh, what am I doing such overkill? Well, because you're not getting the answers. If I'm not getting the answers, even I'd rather do overkill and then find out that I could do less or do something a little different, then I'll solve it, than not have the answers altogether. Okay? And if I'm not getting answers where I am, I got to go someplace else. Because very often I find people just stay with the same thing. Okay? And, you know, continue, you know, trying the same solution to a problem that doesn't work doesn't really make any sense. Okay? That's not logical. And that's very often what we end up doing, is we have a solution. It's not working, but we stick with it. Okay? And what we have to do is we find solutions that do work. And Baruch Hashem, there are many possible solutions today. They're not always the easiest to access, but they're not impossible either. And Baruch Hashem, around New York, they exist. So there's plenty of options. So, you know, I think what we really can do is try to help people in terms of accessing help, identifying the problems, not ignoring the problems, being able to, letting our kids really talk to us and letting us hear them in a non-judgmental way so that we can understand what they're going through and, you know, really trying to access whatever type of help is necessarily, whether the school demands it or not, but rather really understanding what our child's going through. Because if my child is in pain, I need to understand that. Because if they're feeling anxious, they're feeling down, or they're feeling frustrated, school won't necessarily recognize it, but we have to recognize it. Okay, and if whatever our interventions aren't alleviating the problem, then we need to, that's when already I need to go for some professional help.
And what if they deny it?
Listen to them. Talk to them. Let them talk. The more they can talk about it, and the more you can help them label it, the less, you know, help them label how they're feeling. And the more they can understand and label how they're feeling, the more you will have. The question is, do you want to stop feeling this way? If you want to stop feeling this way, there's someone you can talk to who can help you with that. Okay? Are you concerned about how you're behaving? Yes. Okay, so let's go talk to somebody who might be able to help you with that. Okay? That doesn't, you know, depending where you're at with it, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a solution. Okay, but I know with a lot of kids that come to me, I say, look, just give me a few weeks. Let's work on it. Okay, I know it hasn't worked with 3 other people already, and nobody's been able to help you before. But you know what? What do you got to lose here? You don't have a lot to lose. I'm not asking forever. Just stay here for a few weeks. Let's give it a shot.
For the panel afterwards.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.